Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, a podcast about the secret to success in technology, music, and business on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music and learn the secrets to music and technological success. Please follow us online at www.ladyz.com and on all social networks at Lady Z. So today's guest is the founder and CEO of Bloom Bras. She founded Bloom Bras out of frustration. It was an engineering challenge, not a design flaw. She partnered with NASA and shipping and packing experts and also the celebrity corset designers to Oprah Winfrey and Adele to develop a sports bra that adjusts to the body. Designed without harmful underwear wire, it lifts the breasts rather than squishes them, removing pressure on the shoulders and ribs. This allows for natural movement of the breasts and uninterrupted circulation of the blood, improving posture and physique. Bloom Bras is now the most body-inclusive line on the market with sizes 28C to 56L. So welcome, Elise K.
Thank you so much.
So thank you so much for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to hop on this podcast today to chat about the engineering challenge that is the bra.
Well, I'm so happy to be here, and I love talking about engineering challenges and bras all day.
Okay, awesome, awesome. So tell me a little bit about your career and how you got started in product design and development.
Yeah, so my career was I managed a handful of brands, pretty big consumer brands and some small ones, and I would say area of expertise was understanding the nuances between what a consumer was asking for, what a customer would actually put on a shelf, and what a manufacturer could produce. What I was finding very early on in the product development process is that those folks were not talking with one another. And so it might be the best idea ever, but if the marketing isn't behind it and there isn't a whether it be a retailer or an e-tailer that got behind the product, it was a lot more of a challenge. And then also with some of our greatest innovations, there's a lot of costs that's associated to it. And so even though a consumer might say they would want an extra feature, if we couldn't easily manufacture it or if the cost to manufacture it was drastically higher, we had to make sure we were doing the right thing.
Right.
So when I started Bloom Bras, I knew all of the reasons why I never, ever wanted to start my own product company, just because of the challenges. And, you know, even in this day and age, I spend so much of my time in a positive way talking to consumers about their frustrations. And I'm able to connect one-on-one because we're a direct consumer brand. But you know, every time that you have a new product launch, there's so much time, effort, money, and quite frankly, failure that goes behind a lot of those products. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be really, 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 really sure before I took that leap.
Yeah. So I know when I was preparing for this interview, I saw that you had developed this business plan 15 years before you launched Bloom Bras.
Believe it or not, even more than that. I developed the business plan in 1999 because I was just coming into my body at that point in time. I was, coming out of college, and I couldn't find a sports bra. And I'm an active person. You know, I love to dance. I love to hike. I was starting to get more into exercise. And I literally could not find a sports bra that worked. So I started doubling up, which is what I find so many women do. And I said, there has to be a better solution. And so I kind of, you know, detailed out what I wanted. And every couple of years, I'd pull that piece of paper back out and say, okay, well, would I do this way? Would I do this way? And it became just kind of a fun conversation between myself and maybe some of my friends about, because nobody likes the process of buying a sports bra. But then I ran a half marathon, and that's where things changed for me, because I did what I always did. I wore an underwire bra under a sports bra, and I had no skin left at the end of the race from the chafing from the underwire and the hooks digging into me. And I said, that's it. There's got to be a better solution. And so I took to the internet, and because in 1999, the internet did not exist. I took to the internet and I saw that there were thousands and thousands and thousands of women who were talking about the same issue that I was. And then I started to do the research. So average bra size in the US has risen from a 34B to a 34DD in 20 years. And that's actually not even the most recent statistic. The most recent statistic that came out is 70% of women in the US, 70% are now above a D cup. One in three women don't exercise, using their breasts as a reason that they hurt, and that's why they don't do a specific type of exercise. And then I also realized all the health risks that were involved with things like underwire. And I said, okay, I'm going to go back to that TrustShield business plan. I'm going to make my revisions. And then when somebody makes this amazing product, I can't wait to buy it. And then I got the bug and I said, if I don't do this now, I'm never going to do it. So a couple years after that had happened, I, said, okay, I'm going to make this my passion side project. I want to create the perfect bra for me. So that's when I brought in the people from NASA and the shipping and packaging people and, you know, the corset designer who does all the work for ballerinas and opera singers. So she has a very strong understanding of how the female body works, especially for some of the more, I would say, the larger body types. Right. So for me, you know, I'm a double G cup. And so I kind of got used to the fact that there were no products for me out there. But what I realized with the, was that that was actually a lot more common of a size than I thought. And so I kept saying, I want hands holding me up when I'm running and when I'm moving. I had a whole list of other things that I wanted. And when we sat down to do the development on it, we prototyped and I brought it back and I said, well, I love this, but let's just see. So I put a note out on Facebook and saying, you know, I know this is a weird request, but on a female group, I said, if anybody's within these sizes and in the Bay Area, which is where I live, you want to come over, I'd love your feedback on a prototype. I had 160 women within an hour show up and ask if they could try on the prototype. And so then I launched it on Kickstarter. Wow. I know it's so crazy to think about. Launched it on Kickstarter, having no idea what I was doing. And I had over 240,000 people come through our Facebook page in 3 weeks' time without spending any money on, you know, on marketing or advertising. And so I said, well, uh-oh, well, looks like I have to do this now.
Wow. So I want to back up a little bit.
Okay. I know that was a lot of.
So when you talk about, you know, my zone of genius is website development and software development. So when I talk about product, I think of software, and I know there's a lot of planning entailed. Can you describe in more detail how you went from your business plan to your prototype?
Sure, absolutely. So with that, I had been for years, I had been kind of collecting. I bought anything that came onto the market that was within my size range. So even if it was a little bit smaller or if there was something that was cool and innovative, I would buy it and I would try it out and I would keep notes on things I liked, things I didn't like. And then I would find inspiration elsewhere. So I'll give you an example. Have you ever seen those yoga classes where they use the silks from the ceiling? It's like the same things that they use in a, you know, in
aerial.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I was in a class, you know, a chill Sunday night class, and there was a 300-pound man laying cocooning in his silk from the ceiling. I was like, man, if it could hold up a 300-pound man, why can it not hold? Why could a silk not hold up my boobs? The same way with I would see somebody moving furniture or something heavy, right, and look at a pulley system and say, well, that seems like a better option. You know, 90% of the weight in a bra falls onto the band, and that's why you get those red lines. So I was like, if you could lift them up instead and kind of, you know, pull them up over a little higher on the chest and take that weight and distribute it amongst the back, that mm-hmm. seems like it'd be a lot more comfortable. Right. And I started picking up materials because for me, I'm at an age where I want everything that touches my body to feel good and to feel comfortable.
Right. Of course.
So, yeah. So when I came to the table, I actually had a lot of the idea was pretty much completed. It was more or less figuring out what the best way was to design it, execute it, and especially with the cinching cups, how do we get it so we could actually manufacture that?
Now, what was that? Something cups?
Cinching cups. So the way that the bra works uh-huh. is basically all of the weight is taken from the front and it's distributed amongst a mesh panel in your back. There's seams that are designed so that they ride along the edges of your back. So the bra will expand and contract with you. Then the straps are both adjustable because, let's face it, most of us are not symmetrical. And we're all built very differently. So even though we might be the same size, if I put 10 women who are all a 38 triple D next to one another, they're going to look very different. They're going to hold very different. And depending on their age or time of the month or if they've had kids or not, there's other factors in play.
Right.
And so each of the cups has a little cincher inside of it that works like a corset so that it adjusts to your cup size. So again, that way you can adjust your lifting as well as encapsulate the breast versus squash it down.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really, I mean, reading about your bra really has my mind thinking, okay, you have a pulley system, the weight is distributed in the back, mesh system. It sounds super comfortable.
Well, that's what it's designed for. When I set out to do this, the four things that I was most, well, five things I was most passionate about was comfort, number one, mm-hmm. support, equal, adjustability, because we're not, you know, we change throughout the month. I wanted it to look good, but feel better. Mm-hmm. So things like posture were really important. And then no harmful underwire. So I don't talk a lot about the underwire piece in the press just because there's controversy behind it, but it is an indirect. I can't say direct correlation, but an indirect correlation with breast cancer. So if you think about where your lymph nodes are, they're right underneath your armpit, they're right exactly where your underwire cuts in. And so if you're wearing an underwire bra day after day, especially if you're exercising, it's cutting off the circulation and there's nowhere for the drainage to occur. And so you end up with a backup of toxins, which indirectly leads to things like breast cancer.
Wow. Wow.
And so that was really important for me. And it was something that I felt very, very passionate about. Mm-hmm. And for us larger ladies, we don't have the opportunity to walk into a store today and buy something that has those type of features.
Wow, that's incredible. So you, so this, correct me if I'm wrong. So you graduated from college and you were very active, and for almost 20 years, you documented all the things you didn't like about the bras that were on the market, and you tried like every product that was available. So you did this massive market research and product research, pretty much.
Correct.
Wow. That's incredible. So, so how did you connect with the scientists at NASA, and how did you have a mind to just create this innovation?
So it's a, so basically I will talk to anybody in this world who will talk to me. And so I met Dr. Cagle at a networking, I'm sorry, at a, an event that she was speaking at. It was somewhat of a networking for entrepreneurs. She was telling her story, and I was struggling at the point with finding the right material. And so I went up to her afterwards and I said, can we grab coffee this week? And she said, absolutely. We had a love fest. And then next thing you knew, we were, she was advising on my project. I was advising on some of the projects at NASA. And it was love at first sight. Same thing with how I connected with Camilla Huey, who's the designer I was speaking about. She, I got through a friend of mine a phone number for this woman who barely ever, you know, checks even her phone or her voicemail. And it just so happened, I called and she picked up on the second ring. And I said, this is what I'm looking to do. She said, I don't usually take on projects like this, but I'm intrigued. And I got on a plane to New York the next week. And, you know, and she was, she understood everything I was trying to do. And then same thing with, you know, when I was looking for a factory, I cold called the ex-CFO from Victoria's Secret and said, hey, I'm having a challenge finding a factory who can produce an extremely technical garment. And she made some introductions for me. And so it's been a, I will say this, one of the most fascinating things, side things that has happened since I decided to start this company is the amount of women who have jumped in to help and women who have supported, and men too, but I'm going to give some extra props out to the ladies who, out of the goodness of their hearts when I was starting, got behind me, got behind the brand, got behind the mission of the company, mm-hmm. and got us to where we are today.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So one thing that really stood out to me in your branding and your marketing is the body inclusivity mm-hmm. and diversity piece. So can you elaborate on your inspiration for
absolutely. So the mission statement of Bloom Bras since before I started it was to empower women of all shapes, sizes, and stages of life to feel good while they're moving. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of brands out there that that talk a big talk, and but don't follow through with it. And whether that be, you know, the token larger person in an ad, the token person of color in an ad, the token person that's not 22 years old in an ad, you know, to get the credit, that's great. But for us, that's really about who we are. You know, we cover from a 28C to a 56L. Our major markets, like our major women who were.
Stay locked in and fully loaded. Bashani Radio and Verke Radio. They said we couldn't do it. But we global now, worldwide. Boom! In your face.